Sports Radio 92.9, The Game from the Mobile Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta. Willie P. is in the building. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. We will commence the Brown Liquor Music Hour as well on the John Chuckery Show, as we normally do on the final hour of the program. Give you some more of the dulcet tones. Here we go. There you go. I was wondering what my Brown Liquor music was there, Dylan.
I had to keep you on your toes.
There it is.
And also YouTube had to load.
I understand. Thank you, Marvin Gaye. Got it. Yeah, that's always... Back when YouTube... See, this is something that us in the radio industry have had to deal with. YouTube, when they started putting ads up in there, you used to be able to just click on YouTube and just go to whatever song or video you ever wanted to. But now with all these ads... it just prolongs the inevitable. So, like, every once in a while when I want to show something to either my girlfriend or something else, it's like, I gotta wait for this ad!
That's exactly what happened to me, too.
Exactly what happened to you. So, again, I've been there, brother. I know exactly what you're going through. I just wanted to... I'm trying to vamp till I get to the chorus here. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, we'll bring you some more dulcet tones. Hope you enjoy yourself with some nice brown liquor this week. I actually opened up something from my last trip through the state of Kentucky. It's this liquor from this distillery that actually is on the same ground, or at least the same county that Abraham Lincoln was born in. It's called Boundary Oak Distillery, and they've got a liquor that's called, it's a bourbon, that's called My Old Kentucky Home. It was incredible. They also have one that's dedicated to Lincoln as well. They got a couple of others. They had a cinnamon whiskey that did not last long. I'm going to tell you right now, it did not last long in my house. Mixed that with a little apple cider. It was, whew, it was nice on the throat. Very, very nice. And that's how we start the Brown Liquor Music Hour here on a beautiful Wednesday evening on your Thanksgiving. If you missed our conversation with Chris Kirschner of The Athletic, we'll talk a little Hawks with him coming up at about 10:20. We also give you a bunch of hodgepodge stories that really don't belong anywhere else except in their own little segment with the kick coming up at 10:40. Before we do any of that, though, let's get you caught up on everything that's going on, not only in Atlanta, but beyond with what's happening.
Peter, what?
What?
What's happening?
Your Atlanta Falcons on Sunday take on the Las Vegas Raiders following a 24-9 loss to the New Orleans Saints, putting us at 3-7. Didn't mean to mention this in the Falcons... flyover earlier. Atlanta currently sitting right now, if the season ended after this past week, with draft pick number 8, there is a huge wedge of teams sitting at 3-7. Some of that's going to get broken up this weekend because of head-to-head matchups, including Dallas and Washington, who both sit at 3-7. As long as there isn't a tie, one of those teams will move up. Also, the Chargers, Giants, Houston, who will give their pick to Miami, all sitting at 3-7. So spots 4 through 9 are accounted for by teams who sit at that 3-7 mark. And again, I'm not trying to sit here and say that I'm rooting for a draft pick to happen, but it's one of those things that could have a huge direction in the future of this franchise. The immediate future of this franchise is a hearkening to the past for Raheem Morris. He faces a guy who was a mentor to him in John Gruden this week when the Raiders come to town to face Atlanta.
No, man, John Gruden is one of the better people in my life and one of the better people when you're talking about that has absolutely shaped and formed my career and how you want to do it. You talk about energy, you're talking about passion, you're talking about a work ethic that's like no other. His respect for the game, his respect for players, his respect for people's ability to evaluate players is something that I absolutely love and adore. From when you talk about John Gruden. Like he mentioned before, we cheer for each other every single week, just not this one.
As far as Wednesday's practice report goes, the one thing they did get back was the services of Dante Fowler. He comes off of the COVID-19 reserve list, so that's an encouraging sign for the Falcons moving forward. They have had really issues with the pass rush all season. Dante Fowler's, I wouldn't say absence, but absence from at least his ability to be productive on the floor, or on the field, I should say, has been the big chief reason among the fact that they haven't gotten the kind of pass rush they expected, not only from him, but anybody this season. And so hopefully his return could put a spark inside the Falcon rush. Others limited in practice today: Calvin Ridley, Michael Walker, Foye Luikin, James Carpenter, Grady Jarrett. Julio Jones did do some drills with that hamstring injury. A lot of people wondering whether or not that hamstring could possibly just need him to be shut down the rest of the year, because if it's continuing to be a nagging thing, you wonder how much more damage he's going to do to it by playing on it the rest of the way. But he did at least participate somewhat in practice, although in limited fashion. Those who did not participate in practice today, Todd Gurley, Hayden Hurst, and Kadri Allison. Normally, Todd Gurley takes a veteran rest day, but they are citing a lingering knee injury with him. So we'll keep an eye on whether or not Todd Gurley is back on the field later on this week, or also on the field when the weekend comes. Again, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll have the coverage beginning at 9 a.m. Sunday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's been a transformative offseason for the Atlanta Hawks. The additions abound. Danilo Gallinari, also Onyeka Okongwu in the draft, and Rajon Rondo, and Solomon Hill, and Tony Snell. And oh, by the way, Bogdan Bogdanovic became official about this time last night. We found out that the Sacramento Kings did not match the offer sheet for Bogdanovic, signed by the Hawks. 4 years, $72 million for him to play alongside Trae Young in the backcourt. With all these moves, a lot of questions about the young core of the Hawks and how things move forward. One guy this offseason who the microscope was on was Hawks forward John Collins. And of course, when you think about his future with the franchise and the organization, NBA.com writer Sekou Smith, who joined Andy and Randy earlier today, said he's not worth the max that he is seeking for from his team.
I don't think he's in that same category as Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, you know, those sorts of guys. Those are the guys that are getting these big deals. Yep. Even De'Aaron Fox, you know. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I don't know that I've seen enough of John Collins yet to know that he's a guy that I lean on in that fashion. From an organizational standpoint, you got to look at what a guy put on record. Like, what does he have on tape for you to go by? And I don't know that John Collins has enough, at least for me, if I'm making a decision. I don't know that I've seen enough yet.
Hawks are starting to report to camp here as the week goes on. There'll be full workouts coming up in the coming days. The season begins in earnest on the 22nd of December. College football playoff rankings released last night. Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, the top four. No surprises there. Some surprises in the fact that Georgia was ranked as high as number 9. That had some people in their feelings. And the fact that BYU, who sits at 9-0, did not get a lot of love from the College Football Playoff Committee. Granted, they have not played a team inside the FBS Power 5. That's one of the reasons why committee chair Gary Barta said they didn't get the respect that many thought they should have.
Well, the committee is very impressed with BYU. Zach Wilson is definitely a Heisman candidate, playing at a high level. They've beaten three or four teams above 500. But as you look at their schedule, and that's certainly where the committee went and looked at their best win, is against Boise State. Boise was shorthanded in that game. So the committee is very impressed with BYU, but certainly schedule compared to the teams around them came into play.
Again, they sit at 14 around schools like Iowa State and Indiana. Indiana was ranked pretty highly in the AP before their loss to Ohio State. Again, Ohio State sits at number 4. Those just outside the top 4, A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, and Northwestern. So the fact that there is a path, the top 4 for Cincinnati, had a lot of people at least happy in that regard, but the shade toward the Cougars, not necessarily something that they appreciated. Although, when you try and duck an opportunity to play Washington, who had their Apple Cup game against Wazoo postponed, or canceled, I should say, because of COVID-19 issues with Washington State, that might have also had an effect on the committee in a negative fashion. Also in the college football world, the Iron Bowl will be without Nick Saban, we assume. Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19 for the second time this season. It was presumed that the first positive test was a false positive because he was able to get enough negative tests racked up throughout the week to get him on the field for Alabama when that first positive test occurred earlier in the season. He does have mild symptoms, though, now, and it looks like he will not be on the sideline in Tuscaloosa for that game against Auburn. NFL football on Thanksgiving is a little bit more shorthanded than we normally have it. Usually we have three games. We have two only. Lions and Texans leads it off at noon, as well as Washington and Dallas coming up at 4. Of course, you'll hear both of those games on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We were going to have Steelers and Ravens for you as the nightcap. Unfortunately, situation being with the Ravens, their COVID-19 numbers are incredibly up. They've got about 7 or 8 positive tests to speak of right now, and a couple of key positions hurting for them. They wanted to try and wait things out, much to the chagrin of the Steelers. A lot of those guys on Twitter earlier today between Claypool and Eric Ebron, there were a lot of people who were out there saying that there was a little bit of disappointment in the fact that that game was going to be postponed. It's going to be played on Sunday at 1:15. It'll be on NBC, so NBC does get its national televised game, but just a couple of days later, it'll be on alongside the Fox and CBS fare, and they'll also have a Sunday night game to talk about as well. Again, Steelers-Ravens postponed until Sunday. The Braves, earlier this week, were busy. They signed Charlie Morton, becomes the second starting pitcher signing for them, adding Drew Smyly to the fold as well. The fact that those two guys are now part of a very stacked Braves rotation going into 2021, not lost in Alex Anthopoulos because he said the one thing they need to do is find playoff-ready arms.
Yeah, look, it's swing and miss stuff. I think there's a theme there with both Charlie and with Drew. Power, swing and miss stuff. In the postseason, it certainly plays. Again, you need to get there. And again, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, anyone that we were going to add to the rotation, we felt like it needed to be somebody that was a consideration to start playoff games for us.
That is Alex Anthopoulos again. A lot of people wondering whether or not a bat is going to be added. We talked earlier in the show with Joe Patrick, our 92.9 The Game Braves insider. If you missed that, you can go back to the 9 o'clock hour and check that out on the radio.com app, either on demand or via the rewind function on the app. A battery of roster moves made by Atlanta United also earlier this week in order to try and get themselves ready for the 2021 offseason, which gets going in earnest here less than a month from right now when that transfer window opens up. One of the guys departing the club is somebody who was there at the beginning, Jeff Lewenowitz, an unsung hero in the midfield. Carlos Bocanegra, technical director for the Five Stripes, paid him his due earlier this week.
You know, he's had a fantastic career for us here. A wonderful leader when we brought him in the inaugural season. Massive part of the club for the last 4 years. Great veteran, great professional. You know, you can't say enough nice things about Jeff and how much he meant to this club and how much he meant to the city.
Again, he was somebody who I feel like his contributions were hard to define earlier on in his career. You really saw them come to fruition this season. Again, success was limited for this team. We all know it, but he basically was one of the guys who you turned to try and keep things from spiraling out of control. And again, he's somebody who, at this point of his career, probably wants to go after a ring, and I feel like they maybe gave him that particular go-ahead to say, you know what, you've spent your time with us, go try and find yourself one more opportunity to get a championship. I don't think that Atlanta United necessarily doesn't think that they're going to go for a championship next year, but I do feel like they want to fortify their team in other areas. I do feel like this could be a championship roster going into 2021. They want to sell it like that. But, of course, some more moves need to be made. And, of course, you need to hire a manager, which something that Bocanegra also addressed earlier in the week, saying that we're on our own timeline. As long as we have somebody in place before the first game of next season, that's all they care about. Of course, Stephen Glass is going to manage the team in the return leg of the CONCACAF Champions League, which will take place in Orlando against Club America. They're down 3-0 on aggregate there in that contest to come on either the 15th or 16th of December. Willie P here with you, in for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A little bit of Jeezy as well, getting in here. Love that. As the Brown Liquor Music Hour continues on the John Chuckery Show, Chris Kirschner joined us earlier in the program to talk some Hawks and more on the transformative offseason from Atlanta's basketball team. I'll ask him what he thinks about the future of John Collins in Atlanta. Also, when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Conyers. It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But
give it to me.
I don't know about that.
Brown Liquor Music Hour continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. It's always a good selection. I had a chance earlier in the program to talk a little to Chris Kirschner, the man who covers the Atlanta Hawks for The Athletic here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Hawks have had a transformative offseason, from adding Bogdan Bogdanovic to Rajon Rondo, the Nola Gallinari trade involved acquiring Tony Snell off the bench, Solomon Hill. All of these new additions, they've really turned over a roster that, to be honest, had guys who shouldn't have been getting the minutes that they were getting when it comes to the guys that the Hawks had on their roster. They had some guys who were taking up space, you know, the Allen Crabbs and the Chandler Parsons of the world. And so started off by asking Chris, just how impressed are you that the Hawks have been able to transform this roster from what it was before we started free agency?
Well, it's a complete 180 from where the roster was last season. You know, I tweeted out that the Hawks transformed the roster, going from guys like Damian Jones, DeAndre Bembry, Travion Graham, Jeff Teague, Vince Carter, and then they turned that into Bogdan Bogdanovic, Danilo Gallinari, Rajon Rondo, Chris Dunn, Onyeka Okongwu, who they drafted 6th overall. It's a complete 180 from where this roster was last year. And you know, credit to Travis Schlenk for really transforming this roster in a span of a couple of days.
This would have been impressive without the Bogdan signing, which we found out about last night. But how much more does that particular signing make this Hawks offseason a splash?
Well, I think it's the most important signing for the Hawks in free agency, just because, you know, he's the kind of player that the Hawks have been searching for since Trae Young started to ascend in the league. They needed someone who can take some of the pressure off of him in the backcourt, who can create his own shot, who can be a secondary playmaker, who's a good three-point shooter. We saw Kevin Herter do a little bit of that in his 2 seasons, but not to the level of Bogdanovic. So I think that's a really impressive signing for them, and arguably the most important one that we've seen in these past few days.
I know a lot of old school basketball fans are kind of harping on what is the starting five going to look like. The NBA in 2020 and 2021 is very malleable. The starting five changes night after night because of what you go up against. The fact of the matter is the Hawks have a couple different lineups they can throw out there depending on who they play. How do you feel, especially now that they have these interchangeable pieces that they did not have before?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, it's always a talking point of like, who's going to be the starting five. Well, I mean, to be honest, the starting five doesn't necessarily matter all that much. It's a matter of who's playing in crunch time. So in my opinion, I do think that, you know, if it was today, I think the starting five would be Trey, Bogdanovic, Cam, John, and Clint at the five. I think those are the five guys who give the Hawks the best chance to win right now. I know they signed Gallinari to a rich contract, 3 years, $61 million. But at this stage of his career and at his age, he's probably better suited coming off the bench and giving high minutes in that role. So I do think that if the season was starting tonight, that would be my best guess as to, the five guys who I think are the starters and the closing lineup.
And the best part about this is, Chris, is that they have guys where if a guy is a hot hand, you leave him on the floor. If not, you've got somebody left in reserve.
Yeah, I mean, the depth they have now is pretty incredible. You go from a roster last year where you can really count on three, four guys to having a team that is 10 to 12 deep, which is pretty crazy. I mean, that makes them one of the deepest teams in the league. It's something that, I'm really interested to see how Lloyd Pierce works the rotations because, you have quite a few guys now on the roster who are going to expect to be playing night in, night out, and it's going to be on Pierce to figure out how to make everybody happy. It's hard when you have a team that's this deep just because, there's only 48 minutes a night at every position, and you have multiple guys now at every position who are going to be looking to play.
And last I checked, there's still only one ball. Chris Kerstner joining us here from The Athletic as we talk Atlanta Hawks. We're getting less than a month away from the start of the season. Training camp getting underway also coming up here in short order. I want to stop down on Lloyd tactically because I feel like no one really had an appreciation for how limited he was to be able to make tactical moves because of the lack of talent that was on this roster. What do you think his style develops into as he utilizes these new interchangeable parts?
Well, I don't think the offense is going to change that much schematically. Maybe you have more off-ball movement for guys like Trey and when Kevin's on the floor, just because, you have that proven secondary creator now in Bogdanovich. So offensively, I expect them to be a really good offensive team. They've been a pretty solid offensive team in Pierce's first 2 years as the head coach. What I'm more interested in is defensively how things are going to change. As we've seen in these past 2 years, the Hawks have been just atrocious on that end before. Signing Bogdanovich and Gallinari doesn't really help. Signing Rondo doesn't help, even though some fans might be confused by that. Yes, he was a good defender in his early part of his career with Boston, but he is not that player anymore. So those three guys you signed are not going to really be helpful on that end of the floor. You signed Chris Dunn, who in my opinion is one of the best 2-3 perimeter defenders in the league. So he helps, but he's not very good offensively. I shouldn't say very good. He's very bad offensively. So it's just a matter of where does he fit? How do you, get him on the floor? How many minutes does he play? Do guys like Cam and DeAndre continue to grow defensively? Does John take a next step defensively? Clint should help at the center position. What they were dealing with last year was just a wasteland of a position, arguably the worst, position grouping across the NBA. So that helps. But again, it's just a matter of like how Pierce, divvies up the minutes because you now have a roster where rotations and matchups are going to be able to be executed at a much, much higher level than what they've been in his first 2 years.
I know the biggest question on the minds of a lot of Hawks fans is what does this all mean for John Collins? Of course, this was the offseason. We thought that he'd be ticketed for a big extension. That might go by the wayside. There could possibly be another addition, too, on this roster, at least according to what Travis Link said earlier. What does this all mean for John Collins?
Well, I think after the moves they've made, it's likelier that a deal does get done. They don't have any cap space anymore for 2020, and they don't have any cap space for 2021, but because of the NBA collective bargaining agreement, you can re-sign your players and go over the cap. So because they don't necessarily need the cap flexibility anymore for 2021, just because they've already used that cap space, it makes more sense now to get a deal done with him. So, you know, just from talking to Travis and just a couple of other people in the know, they do want to get a deal done with him. It's just a matter of whether or not both sides can agree to a number. If both sides can agree to a number before the start of the season, December 21st is the deadline for when an extension has to be agreed upon, then a deal will get done. If they can't agree to a number, then, you know, he'll go into the season and continue playing on his rookie deal, which he would be doing anyway, even if he did get the extension. But he'd go into the season without a contract extension, and then next offseason, you know, likely hit restricted free agency, or they, you know, they could possibly decide to move him at the trade deadline or in the offseason. But, you know, getting a contract done now guarantees that security and the likelihood that he is a Hawk for the next 4 to 5 years.
How much did the 25-game suspension hurt the ability to, I guess, evaluate where he is at this point?
I mean, it definitely hurt. It not only hurt him, but, you know, it hurt the franchise. It hurt his teammates. They went 4-21 during that stretch that he was suspended 25 games. They were very disappointed with Collins and his suspension. It hurt a lot. Once he got suspended, I think it was like game 4 or 5. It was very early in the season. Once he got suspended, the Hawks lost all hope, and that was really the start of things going south very, very quickly. But, I do think that with Collins, he proved after he came back from the suspension that he is a really, really good player. He's a 20-10 machine, shoots over 40% from three, did take a step forward defensively, and, you know, he is someone who fits well with Trey at least offensively. He does need to continue growing defensively, you know, just because of where Trey's at on that end of the floor. But, you know, if John can continue growing defensively, and if he can add some ball handling and you know, playmaking abilities, then you're looking at a really well-rounded player, one of the more well-rounded players in the league. And in my estimation, you know, if that happens, then, you know, sure, he will be in max contract conversation. But where he's at now, I mean, I know he thinks he's in that max conversation territory, but, you know, he's not there just yet.
I'm excited for the Hawks season to start here again, less than a month. The 22nd is the date of first play. And, of course, we'll get you ready for all that here on your home of the Atlanta Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris, thank you so much. A happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and thanks for taking some time here on this Wednesday.
Thanks a lot. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's Chris Kirschner from The Athletic here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And look, you know, like I said earlier, this is what it looks like on paper. So no one is looking at this and saying it's a guarantee, it's a slam dunk, pardon the pun, that they're going to be in the playoffs. But I do feel like, again, the planning is in place. These are defensible moves. And I was just talking about this in the break with Dylan Matthews, our producer. There isn't a move that they made that I hate. Like, everything is defensible. Solomon Hill on the on the bench is defensible. Trading for Tony Snell is defensible. Signing Rondo, defensible. Gallinari, defensible. Everything that they've made is a move that satisfied a need and satisfied a part of this franchise that needed to improve over not just what happened last year, but what has basically been the norm since Travis Schlenk took over. And again, they had to stink a lot to get to this point, and I forget who it was earlier today who said this. It might have been Carl or Mike, but you basically ripped the middle parts of the plan, of the flight plan, out of the book, and you're zooming forward to, okay, this is the fun part. And hopefully that's what we get with this Hawks team in 2021. Willie P here with you, in for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The hodgepodge stories of the world of sports, we put them all in one easy bite-size portion for you. We call it The Kicker. It comes your way next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P in for John Chuckery. Thanks again to you guys for letting me come into this space. For some reason, this is always one of the most fun ones, just because you come in here and something about the night shift gets you a little feisty. Derek tweets me at Willie P Style. Good job tonight filling in for John Chuckery. I finally tuned in to Georgia State, Georgia Tech, because it actually is a hotly contested matchup between Georgia State and Georgia Tech. Jackets are getting pushed at their building. 59-56, Georgia State has the lead. Don't tell Caleb Johnson. Noted Georgia State alum, our good friend. Look, I'm going to say it once, and Deshaun Tate is going to disown me from his Thanksgiving table for saying it, but I don't know if it's living in Atlanta, living in the South, or what, or just the fact that I'm not on a college campus anymore. It just is not have the same allure to me, the college basketball stuff. I don't know what it is, but it just, for some reason, it doesn't pop like me. And again, it's we don't have the same types of names. These names kind of come in and are only here for a year, so by the time we get to know them, they're already gone and off to the NBA. And even still, I just feel like we had more names, we had more stars, we had more programs, we had more allure, and just the allure to me is all gone. Am I alone there? I don't know. It's sad because I used to love covering college basketball. Like I would cover it for the school that I went to, Mizzou, and I went to a bunch of NCAA tournament games. I was at the Final Four where Chris Jenkins hit the game winning shot against North Carolina. It was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever witnessed. So it's not like I don't like basketball and I don't like college basketball. It's just I look at this game and I look at these teams and it's like, I know a couple of these guys on Georgia Tech is because they've been around. And I happen to like Pastner. He's a good dude. He's got the face shield instead. He went face shield, Dylan, instead of gator or mask. And he's going solo face shield.
He's going to be looking like Andy Reid out there, man.
It looks very. I don't want to laugh because I know that this is being done because of, you know, the abundance of caution. He looks like a goon. I'm just. He looks so goofy wearing the damn face shield. He's just wearing the face shield.
I'm so surprised. Face shield like basketball. Like
he hit him with what? The face shield. He didn't go mask.
That surprises me. Like, why a face shield in basketball? I don't
know. I guess he wants to be heard or you know, he wants people to see read his lips. I don't know.
I reading lips is that makes sense, but I don't know.
I guess I don't want to make fun, because I don't want to make light of it, because I do, you know, understand why we're doing it, and it's. But again, like I said, the whole college basketball, it's just lost a lot of its luster for me, and I'm wondering if that's the case for other people as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, I do this whenever I go on the air. It's an opportunity to get a bunch of stories that really don't fit anywhere else into one package. We call it The Kicker.
We're talking about our kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. What has the sports world come to? We're talking about kickers. He has ruined kickers for life.
I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
Gives us an opportunity to update our poll question. Which one of these Thanksgiving staples is not part of your table? We asked you about pecan pie, sweet potato pie, green bean casserole, mac and cheese. Now, we don't have a majority. We do have a plurality, it looks like. It looks like green bean casserole is going to take home the day as the Thanksgiving staple that is not part of your table.
Haters.
On this... It's not, we just never had it.
We just never had it on our table.
Whole lot of haters out there.
You know what my mother liked? She used to bring these things out. I used to hate these, but she was a mashed potato person, and she always would need peas with her mashed potatoes, and she would bring out these canned peas that were like so mushy, like it almost was like the stuff that I used to be fed of when I was a baby.
Yeah, no,
mushy peas. They were gross. So you wondered why I didn't like green vegetables growing up, because that was the choice. I'm impugning my mother right now. I'm going to get yelled at. So I can't sit there. But again, I like green bean casserole. It just was never on my table. That's not the one that I was going to pick. I'd say no to sweet potato pie. That's the one I'd vote off.
I'm going to have to troll everybody tomorrow and just post a big picture of me eating a big old heaping helping of green bean casserole, and I'm going to enjoy every second of it.
My Conti said he's the only one in his house who eats it. So he basically, between him and I think John Fricke was another person who's like, he and his wife, he's the only one that they make the casserole for. So,
hey,
who knows?
Me and Mike and John, we're going to enjoy our green bean casseroles tomorrow. I'll tell you
what.
You all
can get together with my girlfriend and have a big green bean casserole party.
Let's do
How
it.
How about that?
We could do that. I'm cool with it.
Said it with my chest a little bit there. That was weird. Where was I? Oh, yes. This is interesting. So Vanderbilt basically was hit with a little bit of an okey-doke. Originally, it was supposed to play Tennessee this week. Instead, they're going to play Missouri. And they are dealing with COVID issues, like many, over the course of this season. And they are basically in need of a place kicker. So they're going to go a non-conventional route. They're taking a member of their women's soccer team and possibly using her, this woman's name is Sarah Fuller, as an option. She practiced with the football team on Tuesday with many of the team's specialists in quarantine because of COVID-19 testing. According to Derek Mason, she's got a strong leg. We'll see what that yields. She seems to be a pretty good option, so we'll figure out what that looks like against Missouri on Saturday. It is believed that if she does participate in this game, she'll be the first woman to participate in a Power 5 football game, so that's pretty cool. An ode and an homage to one of the greats, Diego Maradona, who is largely thought of as, at the very least, the second greatest soccer player to ever live. I think many people will universally believe Pele is the greatest. And there's a big debate between Pele and Maradona. And if anything, Maradona is at least number two in a lot of people's eyes. Although when you think about South America, again, it's the big rivalry between Argentina and Brazil. He died at the age of 60 today on the outskirts of Buenos Aires in his home following a heart attack. He had been dealing with some health issues a couple of weeks back. They replayed a lot of the real famous goals, but the one against England, the awesome individual effort where he basically okey-dokes Glenn Hoddle. Oof. Some of the greatest soccer you've ever seen on videotape with Maradona. Of course, the hand of God is one that you look at when that one was punched in, and very much a big part of soccer lore. One story that was brought back to life was the frontman for Oasis, Liam Gallagher, who said that he was confronted at a bar by Maradona and said that if he messed with any of his women, Maradona threatened to shoot him. So, some hostility from a legend. But again, it's just part of the legend and the lore that was the man Maradona. I don't think there's if you could combine Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman as a soccer love child, that's what Diego Maradona was. Just completely aloof and off the reservation. And that's what I would say to people who were not soccer fans, how I would describe him. And if you have not seen the Diego Maradona HBO documentary, it's worth the 3 hours of your time because it just goes into a lot of the great history around that player. Why does this story have to have a sad ending? There's a brewery in Detroit that tried to use an 8-bit likeness of Lions legendary running back Barry Sanders. as part of a cover for its beer. The beer is supposed to actually, I guess, dignify or glorify the fact that the Detroit Lions are somewhat mediocre in their entire time. He basically said, some of you might have seen this article in the Free Press about this beer. I have no affiliation with this company. They are using my image without permission, and my legal team is working through the process to shut this down ASAP. Apologies to any fans who might have been duped. Crazy. It's basically, it's called Eastern Market Brewing Company. And again, has a lot of lettering too that is very much part of the name, image, and likeness of Barry Sanders. It basically, according to this brewery's website, this is what this beer is supposed to bring. It's exactly what you would expect with this classic American lager. Light, crisp, and always leaves you wanting more. Much like the Detroit Lions. Why does this have to have a sad ending? Why can't they just get with Barry Sanders, plop down some money, use him as an investor, or use him as an endorser, and make him part of it? But apparently, the bygones won't be bygones there. And last but not least, LeVar Ball said, in order to make the much anticipated, and believe me, it's not anticipated by anybody other than me, other than people who want to see a butt whooping, the much anticipated matchup between he and Michael Jordan, which I don't think is ever going to happen, LeVar Ball says he wants $200 million up front to play Michael Jordan in a game one-on-one. Needless to say, I'll chip in because I want to see a bubble bin. Anything to see that guy get put in his place. But I don't think it's going to happen. $200 million seems like a little bit much. On a positive note, Michael Jordan did say that he is going to donate $2 million, all coming from proceeds to The Last Dance, to charity, Feeding America, which I find incredibly cool and awesome of him. Man didn't need any more money. Though he might need some money because he has to pay Gordon Hayward $120 million over the next 4 years. Just saying. As awesome as he was as a player, that ownership thing is has eluded him in terms of success. I don't think anybody thought that one was a good idea. And that's the kicker for this Wednesday evening. John Jeffrey's show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. If you listen to this show on a daily basis, you know we have one little business to do, and that's the Love TKO. We'll do that when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Had a lot of fun over the course of the last 4 hours. I'd like to thank Dylan Matthews. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. And hope that all you and yours enjoy yourselves. I'll be back 11 hours from right now from 10 until noon, leading you up to Lions and Texans. Also, Washington and Dallas on our air tomorrow as well. Before we do anything, though, the greatest opening line in the history of music. Looking back over my years, I guess I shed some tears. I told myself time and time again. I know how to pay homage to Teddy Pendergrass, okay? That's the way that you do it. That's the way that you do it. I like to respect my space. I'm in John Chuckery's house. I don't want to move the furniture. I don't want to do too much out of the ordinary. Thanks to Chris Kirshner and Joe Patrick for joining me also earlier on today. We'll talk some more Hawks tomorrow, some Falcons as well. I believe Sam Crenshaw is in this space tomorrow. I'm not sure because it was supposed to be the Ravens game. Maybe we'll go to network. I'm not sure. That's Sean Thompson's department. It's not mine. But we do have football on tomorrow. Texans, Lions, Washington, Dallas. Hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. Hope your feasts are plentiful. And then hope your stuffing and dressing is dressing. And if you're green bean casseroling, let's just say you're not doing it in my house. Say it so long. Willie P. saying happy Thanksgiving. Adios.